When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Five.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Celtic Now and for our podcast. Join me this week on the podcast. Once again, it's Robert Boyle. My name is Ryan Clifford, and it's a new season. Big Ange, Robert, he's back in. Looking forward to get back into the new podcast season and obviously the new vibes of the manager. As I say, Robert, Ange, the vibes are, for me, has been started very well. How's things for yourself, mate, and obviously your vibes and Ange as we've just started?
Hi, good, Ryan. Good to be back. Hopefully this season's a lot better than last season. New manager, and like what I've seen of him so far, been quite impressed from watching his training sessions on YouTube and stuff. The one he was mic'd up, I thought he was good at speaking to the players and telling the players exactly what he wanted. So about keeping the ball and two-touch football and high pressing and high intensity, which I think Celtic have been lacking for Brendan Rodgers left. I was impressed so far. Early days, we don't know yet. I would just like to see a couple more signings in sooner rather than later, because I think we'll need to bed them in and we don't know where the quarantine stuff and things like that. The qualifiers were about 15 days away, 14 days now. I think we really need to hit the ground running here. But so far, impressive what I've seen.
As you say, he was mic'd up. I do want to speak about that because for me, it was actually quite good content for Celtic for since last season. Probably it's been the best maybe response I've had for a while. And a lot of people were saying, obviously, you get trolls, Rangers fans, whatever, saying it's this and that, or it was basic. Why are they getting their up arms about this? And I'm thinking, all these other top teams have done that and they get a massive response. So Celtic have done it. And for me, it shows you, maybe shows you what we didn't have last season. Even my old man says it, and I know people have been texting there again about it. And could you really see Neil Lennon standing in the middle of the park shouting a ball like that? For me, no. I just can't see that. Again, it could be wrong, but just the vibes I'm getting from him, I know he's not really coming to blue, but he's coming to blue to us Celtic fan. Never heard the guy really before. He's come in with this attitude of basically, for me, he's not a yes man. I can just tell that. I hope he's not. I can just tell that he's going to be his own man. For me, he's got a status about him. I know he's quite a big guy, but it just, to me, looks like a guy that was going to command respect. And just for the wee snippets I've seen, he seems like maybe the type of guy that players might run through a brick wall for him. Just the way he's talking. And I just think it's the type of commands. I know people say it's basic commands, but some managers don't sit in a training ground and earn as hands-on as that. And I think if your manager's hands-on like that, I think sometimes the players might respect you because you know what you're talking about and you know just leaving it to your coaching staff.
See, the one thing I noticed with him, Ryan, he seemed to know all the players' names right away.
Aye.
Within a week, and I thought, wow, that's... I know that's his job and he should know that right away, but it'd be quite easy to forget some of... Like, when you see him in the mic'd up one, he knows even like the younger boys and he knew everybody's name. And even in the sessions, he's shouting everybody's names and... To me, it just looked like he's totally hands-on. It's his way. He's doing it his way. I didn't see Kennedy or Stratton in the clips, which I was pleased about because he just took a session. I spoke to a boy who's very good pals with a Celtic first-team player, which I only found out recently. And he spoke to me, and I was talking about Celtic to him, and he says to me, what happened is, he says, before they came in, is Kennedy and Stratton had them pre-season just dogging runs. And the player says to him, it's his best mate, says, when that Ange came in, he spoke to him all, gave him a detail about how he is as a manager, what he expects his players to be like. And he says, we'll be running, but the boys came out every session has a football with him. And that was the difference that player, the current Celtic player, noticed right away, was it wasn't just about running. This guy wanted them on the ball. He wanted as many touches on the ball as he can, and obviously get them comfortable with a ball, which I thought that's exactly the type of manager we want. Because you can run all day long, but if you're not going to touch your ball, then you're not going to bind as a team and play his system as quickly unless you're on the ball constantly.
Well, as I says to you before, kind of offline, that we've played football before, and you know yourself, pre-season, it's always a hard task. It's always, first 2 or 3 weeks are always very hard, but when you've got the ball at your feet, it's the sky's running, and you don't really realise that you're getting fit and you're getting sharper. But if you're just doing doggies all the time, bleep tests and every session, you get bored of it, and that's when players start throwing the dummy out the pram. They start getting sick of it, they get bored of it. And so for me, if that's his intention right away, it shows you the mentality of the guy. He's come in, he's saying, no, I'm doing it my way, I'm putting my message across. That's what I found for me with him getting mic'd up. He was putting his message across right away. It's wee things like, if they're shite, we take advantage of it. You don't fucking celebrate unless you win the game. Stuff like that, for me, it's
made up basic.
It's all basic stuff, but people need to realise about football is basic. Football is an easy game when you do the simple things right. And last season, we didn't do the simple things right, and it cost us. I know we can talk about Rangers, whatever else, but our end game wasn't very, very, it was basic football, but we didn't do the simple things right. And I can just tell with this guy that he's, if we're going to score 5, then they can score whatever, because we're going to score minimum. I just get that enthusiasm that he just wants us to attack. And I can maybe see he's having a few heart attacks along the way, but in a good way, like on the end of your seat all the time. It's a thrill. And I think that, for me, it's exciting to know that football may get brought back to us, because last season the football was slow, boring, lethargic. And I don't think as fans we can go through that again, because that's when we start getting more argumentative and we start getting money and why are we paying this money for this. But for me, the vibes so far, Robert, are good for me.
It's what I like about him is I think he's a manager who, if things are going wrong, he will only be sitting sulking in the dugout like Neil Lennon done. I think he'll be a manager going to the touchline, barking instructions, shouting things, constantly encouraging the boys, whereas I think Neil Lennon took the nip a few times. Obviously sat with his arms folded, looking at Kennedy, looking at Stratton, and they just all looked clueless. There wasn't any instructions. There was no change in the formation of the team when we weren't playing well. It was like for like. And I just hope this manager has that wee bit of difference that we were lacking last season. Obviously, it sounds like he's going to be playing a high-intensity football in your face. I just hope we have the players that are going to be able to do it, and the players that he scouted can come in and hit the ground running and play to that system. That's another thing. Some players wouldn't have played to this system before, so it's whether they can adapt and play to that system. So it'll be very, very interesting.
Because I seen a quote today as well. I don't know if it was for a press conference for him at a fan media or whatever it was, but he was basically saying that he's kind of looked at the way he was signing players, and he's going to change it. He's going to sign them not just on ability, but their personality. Will they fit in the squad? Will they fit in his, like you just says, will they fit into the system? Because it's all right having 23, 24, 25 phenomenal players, but if they can't fit the way you want to play in your system or whatever else, you're kind of wasting them. Their talents, like last year, right? He signed Ellen Roussey. We all know Ellen Roussey's talents, but he wasn't playing right position. People moan about Christie, fair enough, but Christie wasn't playing basically out wide. Christie's not a wide player. Mm-hmm. He was playing guys well out of position. He's playing guys like Edouard up front himself. Edouard's not used to up front himself. He needs somebody with him to link up the play. Doesn't matter if it's a Yeti, Kamara, Griffiths, whatever it was. Edouard's better with somebody than as himself. For me, he sort of does a job, but he's not as effective. And I think, for me, this guy's just going to utilise his players. And I think, obviously, we've talked about new signings. The two boys of Sheffield Wednesday we've just signed. Don't know much about him myself, but again, he's, I don't know if he knows about, obviously, the boy Liam Shaw, but he's signed this boy, spoke to this boy down London, the defender. So it's good the fact that he's actually meeting these players, because that'll give these players a bit of confidence as well, that he's actually meeting them and talking to them. No, like Brendan Rodgers with guys like Shevd. I've never heard him before, never spoke to him. I'm actually signing for a club and they're going, by the way, I don't know you, but I go and get 10 minutes. On you go. So I turned up Monday training at 5 o'clock. So,
but you're hoping that structure of Celtic's changing. Well, I'm not saying the guy's identified this boy for Sheffield Wednesday. He might know if he might, if we don't know for certain. But you're hoping he actually gets this to do the signings, because it can't be the club's same structure where these players come in and try to make the best out of them, because last season it didn't work, and for quite a few seasons it's not been really working. Aye, we get the odd gem, but we used to produce quite a few gems. But I think the team lacks a bit of, should we say, like a captaincy in Celtic, established players, talkers on the park. I think it's all right signing two young boys for Sheffield Wednesday who could be right good talents, but I think we all lack leadership in the team, and I think hopefully the new manager identifies maybe one or two that can come into the team to use the leadership that we're lacking, because I don't think we're vocal enough. And with Scott Brown at the team now, I reckon that'll be lacking even more.
No, I agree with you, Robert. I think I touched on it before we came on live, that I think we are missing that bit of experience in the team. I know you've got guys, I don't know if I or whatever's going to stay doesn't like it, but McGregor, guys have been undone it. But for me, McGregor's no... He's not, for me, the guy that's going to pull you out of the trenches. If you're at 1-0 away from home against, say, it's Mitchelland or whatever, you need to get a goal. Again, I could be wrong, but just from what I've seen, he's not the sort of guy that's going to grab somebody with a shirt. Listen, fucking, come on. I think we need somebody... I think we need somebody more experienced. Like, oh, I know Scott Brown's, for me, is going to be a massive, massive loss. Maybe not as much in the playing capacity, but around the changing room and getting guys geared up, telling them what it means to play for Celtic. And I know I've heard that's McGregor, and that's what he does as well. But I do think we need to, I know but it sounds it, McGregor will be the captain, but I know there's talk about this guy, Aaron Moy, can man. I seen a wee somebody wrote on Twitter that we should just get Aaron Moy, get him short sleeves and just kid on Scott Brown, didn't he leave?
I liked that boy when he was with Brighton.
He was decent, wasn't he? Again, he's rumoured, the guy for Croatia, defender, Guy Maro's might be coming. We don't know, it's all rumours. Like me and you spoke about before, unless this guy's got a scarf on his neck at Celtic Park, we don't believe anything anymore, because there's too many in the nose, there's too many rumours, there's too many paper talk. And now it's just, for me, whoever signs, brilliant, and we'll just support them. But when it comes to these new guys for Sheffield Wednesday, I hope they come in and maybe do a job, because it will be a big step for him. I know Sheffield Wednesday, it's all right level, but come to Celtic, it's a massive, massive step up to just playing in front of maybe 15,000, 20,000 down in Sheffield.
And they get relegated as well, so it'd be hard to judge the boys, you know what I mean? Because they're young boys in a dogfight. People say, but they're new in League One, they can't be good because they came for a team that's been relegated, but that's a lot for a young boy to take on. That championship's a tough league. Maybe it might have set them in good stead for the physical side and stuff. We don't know. I don't know much about the two boys, so I'll only be able to judge them when I see them in a Celtic shirt. So it'll be hard that way. But we really need to get... I don't know if we're waiting. I don't know if we've identified two or three players, but we're waiting on money, maybe an Edward or a Ayer or a Christie deal. It's probably bubbling away in the background, and that's where they're going to use the money. But we shouldn't be waiting then, because we've still got the money for Frimpong, Elhamid and Clamara last season, to which my knowledge is about 14, 15 million. Looks like they've mostly sold out their season books this season again, which is between 15 and 20 million. The strips are flying off the shelves, so I don't know why we would be holding back signings. I don't know, maybe agents and players, we don't know, because we've we spoke to Will before about all this and how long it takes for some of these deals to get out of the line, and it's very difficult to get them out. But I'm hoping it's no waiting money come in before we make our move in the transfer window.
Well, that's the thing, obviously, as you say, we've got the game against Mitchell coming up quite soon, within the next two and a half weeks. Again, are we going to have Ralston, Beaton, maybe an unfit Ayer, Taylor, Bollett left back? It's just going to be, don't know, well, Welsh, is he going to come in? It's going to be a, the defence for me is probably the biggest worry about the full squad. I know the goalkeeper, but I think Barkas, for the sounds of it, might get his chance under him. As a Barky, should we call him Barky for now? Hey, Barky. but for me, I think that defence is, I think midfield were all right. I think if you had the midfield we've got to play against Mitchell, you've had McGregor, Sorrow, Tumble, they guys. So I think midfield you'll be okay. Forrest will be back in. So I think you'll be okay there. Up front, you've still got Griffiths. Eduard, I think, might still be in the next 2 weeks. Ayeti looks a bit fitter to me when I seen him the other day. He looked a bit leaner. So you've got options there. For me, the defence for me is maybe the biggest thing, because I think last season, it was, I know we had a few missed chances, but we were creating a lot of chances. But defensively, it was the same errors all the time. And I just hope the big boy Ange can sort us out there, because for me, that was a big Achilles heel last season. It was the same goals losing every week. It was the same players making mistakes. And that's when me and you were...
I think it was 49% of your goals was for close balls last season.
But that's what you were talking about. It's like...
ridiculous.
But that's what me and you were talking about. Are they actually practising their errors? Because if you're making the same mistakes every single week, something must not be right there. You can't, if you're practising, you shouldn't be making the same mistakes every game. And it was, as you say, no disrespect to St Mons and whatever else, but it's balls across the front, balls at the back. It's simple defensive mistakes we're making. And I just hope this season, it's not just all about attacking, that we actually do sort of defence out. It's already scoring 2-3 goals a game, but you don't want to see goals and silly goals that could actually affect you later in the season.
No, definitely. From what I've heard, he likes a ball-playing centre-half as well. And I don't think, no disrespect to Stephen Welsh, I don't think he's a ball-playing centre-half, to be honest. But he looks like he's close to, well, there's about £2 million a difference for Celtic Norwich's valuation. Out the door, that's another thing. I don't know if the money... they're waiting for the money for that to then go and reinvest in the squad. I don't know. But we've been linked with so many players in the last week and a half. It's hard to put your finger on who we're signing and what we're signing. The latest one was the boy from Man City, centre-half. Another one, I don't know. We seem to just go for all Man City's players that linked to Man City, and it seems to be a merry-go-round with that. But if he's a good player, then I'll happily take him. But I don't know. It's just, I would like to see players signed early, embedded in early, so we know exactly what we're working with.
As you mentioned, three kind of maybe key players who might be leaving, Christy, Edward and Ayer. For me, I think if there's one that's going to stay, I think it might be Edward. The transfer talk of him leaving is kind of cooled, obviously, with Leicester now. There's not really been much spoke about him. So, again, I don't know if he might get a new deal, a one-year deal. I don't know what's happening. But I think the probably two to speak about would be Christy and obviously Ayer. Christy might be going to Crystal Palace, supposedly. Ayer, they're talking about Aston Norwich. I think the rumour about AC Milan is always going to be there because of last season. I know me and you have spoke about how, obviously, the market is ridiculous. The market in down south is ridiculous. The market up here is ridiculous. We don't get the value that we deserve. So Ayer probably is worth 20, 25 million, but are we going to get that? Probably no, as you mentioned, maybe 12, 13. And I think maybe now, if he's at a year left or a year or so left his contract, I would just take it.
Nice. I would take anybody that wants to leave, Ryan. I don't care who they are. You want to leave, get the money for them and reinvest it in the team. That's the only option, because you can't have players flying toys at the pram like last season after Lennon criticised and the full demise of the team just hit rock bottom yesterday, and you could just see it was a team of individuals. So we can't have that. We can't have a unsettled dressing room again for the season coming.
No, definitely not, mate. I think it's got to be all positive, and that's why one reason why I'm kind of, I've been kind of holding back on myself on my social media and stuff. I'm just trying to let this guy own his job and no criticise any signings, criticise anything he does, because there's too many people now doing that, I think, social media. Getting the team a bit of jip, no matter what we do, it's what we're doing this for, what we're doing this for. And I'm just like, no, just let the guy go through his job. Let's see what happens after the first qualifying game. Let's see what keeps happening. In the day, as we see with Rodgers, he could beat a fucking Red Imps and nobody was really giving him jip. So we need to just give this guy a chance to come in. And as I say, maybe after 3-4 months, we can judge a guy, see who he signs, see how he's playing. And again, it's all party for me. You know, it's a, it shouldn't be, but it is a bit of a project now. We're signing project players, guys to come in, and we're not really signing experienced players as it stands. So it's going to be a bit of a whirlwind for me the next few months to see how we go. And I just hope, we, as you say, we do get guys in soon, because as we always know, the last 3 or 4 years, they wait to be qualify, or we wait to we get to Europa League group stages, then we start buying players, we start shelling it money, and we can't do it anymore, because if we do that, goodbye to the 40 million that are next year, because we're not going to get it.
I seen Mitchell and sold their top player the other day for like 30 million, but then they went out and bought a Brazilian right after it, and I'm like, oh God, no, the Brazilians are like, they're always good players, so I think they'll be a very, very tricky opponent, and I think they'll be a bit ahead of their pre-season more than us, because their league start quicker than theirs, didn't they? So I'm a bit worried about the tie, to be honest with you. I don't think there'll be any mugs, to be honest, but we can only play who's in front of us and see how we get on.
That's it, mate. It's, I don't think there'll be any mugs, but I've kind of looked at our squad, and we should have enough, but we've said that before, and it's not happened. As we've mentioned before, kind of bananas just came in, how massive this season is. I still don't think fans realise how big this season is. When it comes to, we all know, we can all speak about Rangers' financial situation. We all know they're not doing well. They can put it in the papers that they're doing all right, whatever else. If they're not share issue, that business came out. Court battles we ask, whether strips are shite, as we've seen, everything's just a shamble. So, but on our side, we need to win the league, because it's going to put us 3-4 years ahead again. In my opinion, it's just my opinion, I think it will put us ahead again. As you mentioned, if we qualify and win the league and we go right in, just say minimum 30 million, you're going to get better players come to you. As you mentioned, season books will fly off the shelves again, strips will fly off the shelves, they'll bring out new kit, new training gear, they'll buy all that. Everything's going to be rosy again. So for me, as we spoke with Robert, we've got to get it right early on, because if we don't, you know what, the fans are like, we expect success. If it doesn't happen early on, they're going to be wanting hands to get a chop, because that's just the way football is on this side of the city.
We've got a right tough opener away to Hearts.
Massive, mate. Massive.
It's going to be, you can just imagine the physicality and how hard it's going to be. But if you remember Rodgers' opener against Hearts, mm-hmm. it can propel you onto mm-hmm. a good season, you know what I mean? If we get a good result, then it might give the players a confidence right away, because it'd be a tough game to get out the road, first game of the season. But I'm just hoping maybe the next 5 to 10 days that there's at least two signings in that's going to make us be a bit, aye, that's the players we need. That's like no projects, players that are ready made to come in and make a difference. And leaders, I think we're lacking leaders, vocal leaders and leaders on the park. And I hope that's what Ange identifies and training and goes, right, this is what the team needs. But maybe just lacking in 2 or 3 positions, and that's what he sees. But again, he could be doing that, and then I think he's got a settled team, and then Edward gets sold, and then he has to go out and again into the transfer market. We just don't know if he's maybe holding on to the players to the qualifiers or over with Michelin. Then they've got agreed deals with somebody else, and then it's the goal because they want that first qualifier out of the road. I don't know. It's modern football. It's so hard to keep up with, isn't it?
Oh, it's mega, mate. It's football's totally changing. It's, and obviously with the Euros, that's going to get players' value up because I've done well, obviously, doing if I'm not very played. And for me, as a Celtic fan, I was hoping that two or three of them had have good Euros because it could have made them a bit more valuable. Like your Christie, he didn't really play much. I don't know if Christie played, did he? I can't remember.
No, I don't.
So, if I put his value up to playing well, Tumble, I don't think Tumble even get a kick about. So, but you, I was kind of hoping the guys who you maybe think were selling would maybe get a good Euros. And I've seen Eduardo getting called up to the Heimby squad for the Olympics and whatever else. So, again, as he been told, no, you're staying for the qualifiers. We don't know. So, the thing I know, if Ayer and like Eduard, whatever, and Christie, they playing against Michelland, then they can't play in Europe for anybody else apart from Europa League. So, that's taking their money off you again in a way because they can't play for the big teams. Because I know you get the old big team in the Europa League, but your big teams don't play in that, and that's maybe who you're trying to get. But I just think, as she says, mate, football's, especially the value when it comes to the market, it's bonkers because we know that Edwards at least worth at least 20 million, Ayers at least 50 to 20 million. Guys like Tumble are definitely up there now with 8 maybe million. Christie is, no matter how much fans may criticise Christie, he should be worth 7, 8 million pounds if he's going to Norwich or a Burnley or a Crystal Palace. Guys like McGregor should be worth 15, 20 million pounds. He's been a successful player for Celtic, experienced at an nationalist, played in the biggest competitions. So I just think that's one thing I think we need to change as a club and not accept the shite value that we've sometimes had. Like, with Fraser Foster, was it 10 million pounds or something? See, looking back now, Kieran Tierney, 25 million pounds. At the time, they're good deals. Then Barry, 20 million, brilliant deals. But when you look back now, it's fucking ridiculous how much you're getting robbed, basically, a few extra, maybe 4 or 5 million pounds at every transfer window.
It's just COVID's made a right bad, obviously, for all transfers, I don't think. Mm-hmm. Every player that what they were valued at before, whoever been here, what they were.
Right, done.
I think it's just dropped because of COVID. But as you say, when you look at some of the transfer deals done in England, then you're going, behave yourselves. You know what I mean? Like, I remember Benteke going for 32 million.
And what's he done since?
I think he scored 4 goals or something last season, right? And he went to Liverpool for about 30 odd million, I know. And Origi and all that for Liverpool went for 30 odd million. And you're just looking at some of these players and going, come on, man, these guys have never really done anything in football. And then I seen the boy, Abraham, what's his first name?
Tammy Abraham.
I seen they were talking about Aston Villa were going to bid 40 million for him. And I was like, what? Where did they get these valuations? And the big boy Solanke that went to Bournemouth at Liverpool went for 25 million or something. And I just, it's just, they're just overreacting there. Everything's just inflated. When you look at them and you look at the guys up in the Scottish League, even look at Morelos, you know what I mean? He's probably better than most of the players, goal scoring wise. And you look at their transfers. So Celtic have got every right to ask for at least 20 million for Edward. You know what I mean?
Definitely. And as you say, they're talking about this guy, Ben White, from Brighton. 50 million pounds to Arsenal or whatever it is. Fair enough, I understand that's the value these days of the market, but
you're trying to play the English market for English players.
But Ben White played in a bottom half team in England, kind of on and off, struggling for relegation. How can you then go and pay 50 million pounds for a guy to then go and jump up a few teams to play in maybe an okay Arsenal team? How's he going to improve you? He's coming for a low level. How's he going to improve you? That's what I said to my old man as well last year when Man City signed the guy, what's his name, for Bournemouth, Aki, for 40, 50 million. How can he go to get relegated to go and sign for 40 million pounds for the best team, one of the best in the world? I generally don't understand that. I don't understand how you can get a team done but then get a rise and a move. I find it bonkers that, and that's,
I get he's probably a standout in Bournemouth, but he's not going to get into Man City and improve them massively, is he?
No.
You see why they went for Diaz for Benfica? Because he played at a European level, played at the highest level, won championships for Benfica, and was playing in the latter stages of the Europa League and Champions League. So that's a player who's tested himself. obviously highest level. I'm not saying he doesn't test his cell against Premier League players, but out with the Premier League players, he doesn't really get to start off a Holland. Even at Man City, I think he played a couple of games and then just he got injured and he's never been really seen since. Yeah, I mean, so they're then telling you £40 million for a backup player in the Premier League. It's embarrassing, isn't it? It's really ridiculous.
It's scary, in my opinion, Robert, that I know, listen, I'm no Guardiola, I'm no Mourinho, I can't say nothing about them because in the day they are phenomenal managers, but how can you pay 40, it's just my opinion, how can you pay £40 million for a guy that got a team relegated, but then maybe pay an extra £20 million for, as you see, the guy like Diaz, who's, he's, for me, he's definitely one of the best in the world, I know, he's phenomenal. It just shows you how much money that these clubs have actually got. But look at Man United, £70 million for Sancho. The guy's a quality player, but £70 million is a lot of money, man. For football. It's an absolute. It's, and that's how I'm. It gets me frustrated when maybe we're only selling guys for £8 million or £10 million. I'm thinking in 2 years' time they're going to be £40 million.
£40 million.
And I'm going to buy, right? £3.2 million. My personal opinion is, right, I don't think John McGinn would improve Man United. That's just my opinion. The guy's a brilliant player, but I don't think he's going to, again, I could be totally proved wrong. The guy is an absolute brilliant player, right? But I thought the Euros, he didn't play that well. People are saying he did. My opinion, I didn't think he played that well. Again, it could be burnt out because these guys have played a lot of games. But is he going to step into United ahead of guys like Paul Pogba, who again for France was fucking unbelievable? That's a level these guys need to get to. Again, they might get there
before. He's only got a year left contact, but man.
See, I know. Again, yeah, but again.
I like Pogba as a player, right? Aye. But he's got that shape with the one sleeve down.
I know.
Or one cut off and his hair dyed in red, white, and blue for France. And then he scores and he's dancing about the park as if he's a fucking street dancer. They are that if you win the game, man.
Aye, I know.
He's two guys like him. It's just a big enigma for me. He's a great player, but he doesn't do it often enough. And he strolls about as if he's a fucking film star on the park, where it probably takes half of his game away because he's too busy worrying about his hair and how he looks. And I just think that's just obviously him now. Football now, just, there's too many fucking drama queens in it.
Well, that's what the. What's his name? Who's that player? Was it Mobley?
Mobley, rolling about as if he'd been hit with a hand grenade, and then they score and he gets up and runs away. And you're thinking, if I was the referee, I'd have ran up and booked him after that. I'd have went, no, there you go. That's just, I just feel some football players like embarrassing. Like, I just thought Big Pogba played brilliant for France, but what's he dressing like all that with one sleeve down as if he's a basketball player and all that, and his hair dyed and just. I don't know. Modern football, mate.
That's the thing that I hope that Ange does at Celtic. You bring that kind of Scottish theme back into kind of Celtic, just total football, hard tackles, neighbourhood. Like, a bit like Scott Brown, then there is, like you say, is fucking outside of football. You do your football in the park, whether you do outside of football, fair enough. But I think, personally, my opinion, I think some players are maybe too vocal on social media and stuff like that. They do too much. Post too much, and again, they can do what they want, but in the day, a football player, you're a role model for everybody else. And if young guys are like, I've always said, when I was younger, you were probably the same, Robert, I would have played for Celtic for fuck all. All I wanted to do was be a football player. I might have played pro youth from whatever else, but I didn't get to the level like Celtic, whatever else. So that's when you were growing up. It was playing in the streets, five a-sides, Bartek Cody. 2 in 10, 21 as it was all to play with Celtic, run the boot shouting Larson and whatever else. That was the type of stuff you looked up to and you'd have dreamt of playing for fuck all. But now I think young guys are, it's made about the money side now. They say, I want to play football and I want to live a dream, but I could get maybe a 3-4 grand a week if I sign for this club, but then if I get 10, I think football's, I'm not saying football's finished, but.
I was reading about him the other day.
Who?
The young boy Liam Morrison that left Celtic, and he said
I've seen it, but
but he went to Bayern Munich, and he went, I had to do it for my career, man. You were 16, mate, and you were training with the first team at Celtic. How did you have to go to Bayern Munich?
Didn't
he? I personally, I'm not saying I'm Celtic's number one fan, but if I grew up supporting Celtic as a boy and I was training with the first team at 16, I'd have thought to myself, right, that's, you're not going to get any better than that at 16. No. To then go out in Munich, I get Bayern Munich's a fucking amazing club and he's probably terrified to not get the opportunity back, but to then go and play at under 18 or under 19 level in Germany, I maybe improve him as a player, no doubt about it, probably make him a better player at time. But if you're really a Celtic supporter and you're at a club and you're training with the first team at 16, what more does he want at 16? Does he expect to be fucking in at centre-half? I think that's the dangerous thing about football. I mean, it's all about money. It's all about just getting as much money as quickly as they can. I don't even think half of them you'll ever see kick a ball. Like the boy Ben Davis, that was meant to come to Celtic, that went to Liverpool for $3 million. He'll never even get near that Liverpool team.
No chance.
It's all about money to him. It's about making the domestics clear for pressing the north end. And that just, Celtic might have been bad on the deal and mucked the deal up, but you're just thinking, mate, you're literally just got to go and sit in Liverpool reserves. You'll never be known at any support. You know the guy that sat in the stands and collected $40,000 a week, and he's only 25. I just didn't get that. That's just modern football, mate. I don't get it.
We'll see that as well, right? Like you're talking about the start off for the guy, a wee boy Morrison, at 16. As you say, we've had guys like Sam Wardrobe was on and Tony McPartland, and they all loved bringing that first team atmosphere at that age, young youth player, learning off these guys and whatever else. Let's be honest, you might go to Bayern Munich and you might talk for $11 game or else. But I don't know this, but this is just my thinking. Do you really think $11 is going to sit and talk to a 16-year-old boy about football? Probably no. But as maybe a guy like, I don't know, Scott Brown, he might talk to you about you and tell you about football and tell you about the game. I'm just going by, you might actually learn more as a youth player at Celtic than you might at Bayern Munich. As you say, you might learn about maybe there's a development side of football, but you might learn to actually be a man maybe at Celtic. I don't know. I'm just thinking the different cultures and whatever else. As you say, at 16-year-old, what much do you really want? You've signed them maybe a full-time contract. You're playing with established professionals at Celtic who, let's be honest, are established fucking very good professionals. You're getting the best of care, the best of everything. Is it something Celtic's doing wrong that these guys are wanting to move? Or is it other people outside of the game exchanging the mentality? Is it guys, like you say, the agents, or the company of six, you know, listen, pal, no good talent, I'll get you to Bayern Munich. Is it agents doing for their side? Or again, I don't know, obviously we'll get Wogan more again and ask Wogan his take on stuff like that, but I don't know the ins and outs of that. But as you say, when we were younger, if you were 16 and Celtic offered you a 2-year deal, whatever, you'd be fucking buzzing at your dial. You wouldn't think of moving anywhere else. For me anyway, my focus would be on right and train hard every day. Don't know.
At 16, where is he more likely to get a chance? Celtic. That's the realistic thing about it. So, and then the young boy Hepburn, they took him off Celtic as well.
And no heard them since.
The two of them went there, and I'm just thinking, is that some sort of agent that's doing that? It's getting into their heads and saying, I'll get you out of Bayern Munich because they're looking at top talent all the world and they'll just want to bring everybody in. And they could end up faulting my way to nothing. See if they go and make a career for themselves. I take my hat off and say I was talking totally shite. It'd be brilliant. But I just felt, I don't know, maybe the things at Celtic just, they didn't see a pathway to the first team. They thought it was disjointed and maybe they just wanted out of the club because of what was going on behind the scenes. We do not know that. That's the thing. But surely at 16, you have more chance of making a breakthrough at Celtic than you have got to Bayern Munich. That was just the baffling thing about it for me.
I would agree with you, mate. I understand people might say there might not be a pathway, but we don't know obviously behind the scenes how that pathway was kind of projected in the era last season. So again, we don't know, but I just hope that Big Ange comes in and how he puts the pathway. I hope it changes, because he had says that he spent a lot of time recently, because obviously people on the Euros and stuff, that he's had a chance to look at the youth team and whatever else. And I do believe there's a lot of talent in the youth system, but again, you need to give him a chance. But as fans, some fans, they're like, no, he's only a team we can't give him the chance, because we need to win the game and we need to win cups, we need to win trophies. But like we've said before, Robert, maybe this is a time where we need to have maybe a year or two, have no success, build a team again, and then go for maybe 5-6 years again, and then have some, if that's the way we need to go, then I've said I would take it. Obviously, we didn't know that we're going to have the full money for qualifying for Europe this season, then next season, so take that away. Would you have another season of poor success and then have another period of 5, 6, 7 years sustained success under a project and a pathway? Or would you rather just win the league 1 more year and then be fucked for another 3-4 years? Me personally, I would take another year out and then boom, back on again.
I wouldn't give them that opportunity to win the league.
I'm just talking about in a take away the Champions League money, anyone who bought that business in it, right? Obviously, but win the league, I'm just talking for hindsight, right?
But sorry to say that, is it guaranteed? Because nothing's guaranteed in these bad taxes, so.
Well, we all thought 10 was guaranteed, mate, so. Didn't it work?
So you just, you don't, you. It's saying, I get that, but how many clubs has actually tried to do that, replicate that? Will take 2 or 3 years to build, and then it's a sustained success, because injuries can happen, players can leave, you can sign players that don't end up coming up to the grade. It's football's changing now. It's not like back in the Man youth team where Fergie built that youth team and they went on and won 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 years of success. Football's so modern now and changing all the time, where you don't really, I'm not saying you don't get teams that dominate, you do get teams that dominate, but it's no as a given as it was back then.
Aye.
If you know, like that Premier League is just wild now. It's like maybe Man City win it 1 year, Liverpool, then maybe Chelsea nip in there, just because there's that much money in football now. Like Manu used to, under Fergie, he'd go and identify the best player at Leeds United, Eric Cantona, sign him. Mm-hmm. Best players, Nottingham Forest, Roy Keane, go and sign him. They can't really go and do that now, as such. Like, Harry Kane's now valued at $150 million, and none of them are like, well, can we afford that? Declan Rice, how this is beyond me, he's valued at $100 million. Jack Grealish, $120 million. And they can offer the wages that Man U and that are offered. Nah. So these players really actually don't need to leave. So I thought modern football is, it's very, very weird and funny old game now, mate.
Because that's obviously talking about, like, guys who maybe gone for money or ambition, whatever else. For me, the thing, see, like guys like your Edouard and your Ayer, right? Say Edouard did go to, was talking about as at West Ham or whatever, right? What are you going to achieve at Aston Villa that you can't achieve at Celtic, apart from money? Let's be honest here. You might win an FA Cup or a fucking Challenge Cup or whatever it is, doing the Carabao Cup, but right? The chance Aston Villa finishing the top four. I know West Ham had a brilliant season last year, finished 5th or 6th. That will happen again, in my opinion. I don't think that will happen again for West Ham this year. But Aston Villa, they might finish what, 9th, 10th, whatever. They might get maybe a sniff at Europa League qualifying. I don't know. They're not going to win the league, so he's not going to get the Premier League. Ayer, Norwich might get back down again next season. Crystal Palace might get done. So for me, it's a stepping stone. It's a stepping stone for money. And a step from maybe playing against better players. But for your career when it comes to trophies, it's a step down, because it's Celtic, as you know. It might not be the elite fucking level, but you've got a chance of winning 3 trophies every season. You're going to maybe win at least one in the league. You've got basically 1 out of 2 chance of winning the league. You maybe get a 1 out of maybe 3, 4. Maybe, I know Hibs, Aberdeen, Hearts are strong enough to win a cup. So you're most of your odds are in favour to win something in Scotland. So for me, me as a football player, I know when I played at amateur and whatever else, 21s, I was all about winning trophies. I loved winning trophies. I love winning. I know money's important to people, but surely when you look back in your career, you might have 50 million in your bank, but see, if you've made trophies, well, you're a football player, you won nothing. Surely
a lot of these players, in their opinions and in their agents' opinions is you go down and you have one crack season with Norwich, then maybe a higher team, and then it goes for there. This is what these agents put into these guys' heads, whether they're average or whether they're brilliant or whether they're anything. They're just convincing them that they can go to the very top, and that's what it's all about. And they're thinking, you get in there and you have one good season and you get a £15 million transfer, you then go for £30 million, because agents just care about your sale, really. Realistically, that's what it's about.
That's his job, isn't it?
There's Mbappe now talking about he's not signing a new contract with PSG, and you're thinking, where realistically in the world could he go to make his sale better? Or he's had all the money. Real Madrid, Barcelona, maybe a Bayern Munich. I don't really know out with that where he could go. Does he want to go to the Premier League? I don't know. But he's 22, and to me, he looks like he's a fussy wee cunt already at 22 years of age. Like, nothing's ever good enough for him. So, where will that boy end up? You know what I mean? And what sort of money is he looking at? Because he's probably won the best part of £250,000 a week at PSG.
Probably.
It's for, what, 22 years of age, that's a lot of greed for one young boy.
Because I'm sure...
Probably already worth about £10 million, you know what I mean?
Because I'm sure Terry Henry says it all day. Don't quote on it, but I'm sure I've seen a quote on it saying that if he doesn't take away his ego, he's not going to be the player he thinks he is.
Well, that's a problem.
And, that's coming from one of the... one of the French role models telling you that. So, for me, if that's a guy like that telling you that, surely you'd be fucking listening.
Yeah. I know. That's modern football,
no? I generally hate the way football's gone, mate. I don't like it. And I've said to my dad, I'm actually quite glad I'm retired from football now, because I hated playing the way it is now. Just, it's, for me, it's changed so much since I've stopped playing. Not just the top level, just at any level now, I think football's changing. But when it comes to the money side, it definitely affects us. Like you're saying, you're giving guys like Mbappe, 250, whatever. Maybe in May, speaking, maybe give some of these, maybe 540, maybe highest, maybe roughly. So it's very hard for us to get.
Look at
these top players.
David Alaba,
Yeah.
Mbappe,
Kylian
Mbappe, £410,000 a week. David Alaba is a good football player, but I don't think he's anything above being a good football player.
No.
When I seen that wage, I thought, holy moly, man, that is, football is totally ruined. You know what I mean? It's not what he's a pure Cristiano Ronaldo, a Zinedine Zidane, a Ronaldinho, David Alaba. You know what I mean? And you're thinking, wow, £410,000 a week. That is ridiculous. It's totally ridiculous, mate. Football's just obscene. You know what I mean?
It's scary, mate. I've always been a big advocate for people. Think it's just they're just kicking a ball and I'm not listening. It's more than that. It's a full lifestyle. But I know they all say that nurses deserve more than, listen, 100%, total 100%. But the NHS, they and doctors, blah, blah, they should get whatever they deserve. It should be, fucking, is it £40 an hour, whatever they deserve, a lot more than what they're getting. But when it comes to the football side of transfers and money, me and you know, Robert, that no football player should be getting £400 a week. Nobody should be getting that.
Is it
no League 2 or League 1 it's got to start doing that? Down south?
I don't know, Ryan.
I don't know if that's confirmed, but definitely wage cap should be in. And obviously we were talking about, is back to as well, about the pathway. This coaching is going to be in next season. Again, I don't know who the manager's going to be, and the vision was about, I think it was
John Hughes.
Talking about John Collins, I heard the rumors, I don't know. But again, that could be a good thing as well for the first team, because these guys, as we've spoken about, you're playing against hardened professionals, part time maybe players who, let's be honest, they want to beat you. They want to give you a wee tackle, they want to tell you they're there. And it'll give you, I think it's better them doing that than, as we've spoken about, playing against guys at your own level, playing against your own 19s and 18s, because let's be fair, some of the guys are just all wee technically nicey players. But when you go down to that level, they'll give you an elbow and they'll give you a ruffle up, and I think it makes you a better player. Because it happened to me, I left 21s and went to amateurs and I became a better player because you kicked about the park, you get no time on the park, and I think that's what these younger guys, they need. It's already been technically very good, but if you're a wee shitbag and can't handle playing in front of a crowd, then you have no hope in hell to be a football player.
No, it's definitely going to improve. Them and stuff like that, you know that they can't dally dally on the ball, because as you say, some of these players will be 32, 33, probably played through the League 1, League 2, and just saying, who does this wee stupid kind of thing is, and just launch them, because it will happen.
I know.
And it's the way you're going to improve as a player and realise I need to take maybe one touch instead of two, or maybe take two touches instead of three, and pick my passes and be quicker, like coming out with the ball and stuff. Because these guys will only hang about and just give you the time on the ball. It's simple. They'll give you the dinks, they'll give you the knocks, they'll climb over the tap here, they'll pull your shirts back, stunning your feet. It's all things that season pros will teach you in a game of football.
100%, mate. And I think it's better after learning. I don't know the actual rules of the full thing. I don't know if first team players are allowed to play in it, come back to fencing and stuff. I don't know. But again, if that was the case, imagine like Lee Griffiths come back from injury or a Yeti, just say Edward Stein come back from injury, he's playing in, I don't think Edward would maybe play right, but just for talk's sake, that'd be some experience, because you hear all these guys like Simon Ferry, or these guys who played in that era years ago, that they were playing with the first team players like Paul Lambert and all that, and he says, I learned off Paul Lambert in 90 minutes, I did some things off managers. That's phenomenal to know that you can actually learn so much off a hardened pro than actually a manager getting coached. It just shows you that playing football actually maybe does help you more than actually just training, because you can know only so much you can train. But if you're playing with these guys, you pick up what they do, you see what they do, and you go, hey, I want to do that. And I think you learn more on the park than you do maybe training, because these guys talk you through the game. And I think that's what, as you say, these guys make you down there and learn a lot off these guys. And plus, it could actually maybe get Celtic a manager at it in some state, maybe for the future. They might get a guy who can win, maybe get him up. I don't know how it would work, but for me, it's very positive. I don't see any negative whatsoever, because as you say as well, I think it's one of the other podcasts, Robert, that it'll get like kids into football. Or, I want to go see Clyde versus Celtic. It's getting more people into football, and again, it's getting guys out of the house. Or, similar coach, Celtic's playing, I went over, I want to go to Clifton Hall, £2. A ticket and make £2
that much. Mm-hmm. It's just Clyde's ground's no far from me, so if you were playing up there, say a Tuesday, Wednesday night, then you'd happily go up and watch it, you know. And it helps the clubs, obviously, that's playing them, because they would get a bit of a crowd and make money off it. And I think Scottish football is going to need as much money as it can after the pandemic, because a lot of these young clubs, small clubs, will be totally on their arse, I think, for money.
No, definitely, mate. Definitely, especially like, as you say, Clyde, Abbey Rovers, whatever. They might get 500 to 1,000 fans at that game. Just, let's be honest, that is to see probably the Celtic players, but like, I would maybe go just to see who's their talent coming up, how's the pathway, maybe how they're playing, is it the same philosophy for the tap to the boat? And that's what we've kind of spoken about, that we should have a pathway for the tap to the bottom. For me, it should be, if it's 4-4-2 to the tap, 4-4-2 to the bottom. That's just the way I think it should be. So, like you've said before, when the Dubai thing happened, you've seen the difference, was it Opal Flex and Harper came in? You've seen the big difference of the physicality and the ability that they weren't ready to step in. And maybe we thought, I give these guys a chance. And then you look at it now and you're thinking, these guys can't step up. And maybe these guys going out and loan or going to coach for 4 or 5 months and then they may be able to step in. It's giving the manager as well a bit of an aspect to look at these guys and go, right, I'll go look at these guys on a Tuesday night. Training's finished. I'll go and look at these guys and see how they are, because it's all right seeing them in training, but you know yourself, if you see guys on a football park, you see many of them, it's to express themselves. And I think it's just a massive, massive positivity, in my opinion, that it's happening.
No, definitely. I think it'll benefit the youth players and the lower leagues in Scottish football. But you can't just be one or two seasons. It's got to be progressive 3 or 4 seasons, I reckon, 5 seasons, to get the full benefit of it.
I don't think one season. See, I don't know. Is it just one season happening?
One season, I know. I think it is. It's like a pilot scheme, which right. I don't get that. But we'll see from there where it goes.
Well, as you say, when it comes to the one season, I think, if you want to get, as you say, the full benefit, I think it has got to be a substantial period of time, where if it's 3, 4, whatever years, because as he says, maybe some of the young guys, young fans as well, they might hear him maybe about it. If it's just one season, they might go, oh, I'd have loved that, to go and see Celtic players playing, whatever else. And I think it's good as well for these other teams in the lower leagues to test themselves. And it kind of, I'm not saying it would put them in a short window to get a move to Celtic, but it may get a move to maybe a better team. Or he done well against him last year. He might be a better player, a better level. It's, for me, it's, as you say, it's a big, big, massive positive, from my opinion, for Scottish football. I don't see much negative about it. People might say it might be negative because Celtic might go 1-4, 5-0 a week, but it was the same with Rangers been doing the third division. Let's be honest, that was very the same. They went down and played them in 1-4, 5-6 every week. Well, not every week, but most week. So it is really similar to that, in a way, that quality players are doing the third division. And again, it's, I think it'd be good for these part-time players to test themselves against, let's be honest, we guys who are, like you say, be nippy, quick, take their tickets, maybe. And as you say, Michael Harris and Powell, you need to toughen up.
No, definitely, as Ryan as I say, it's all positive and what I can see, but it can't just be one season and it gets scrapped and it just goes back to square one again, because it's not going to benefit anybody.
No, I don't think so, mate. Again, it just gives, as you say, it gives Scottish football a bit more money as well for maybe an economy when it comes to the big club, the big clubs, because as you say, they've lost a lot of money, and obviously now we're starting to get fans in. I've heard rumours as well that obviously there might be full crowds for the season start. We don't know, but again, that would be a benefit for me, in my opinion, for us, because I know it's no excuse, but we've seen how poor we were without a crowd. And I genuinely believe if we have 60,000 fans, performances won't be like that. I will put my hat on it. If you get 60,000 fans, we will not play fight every game. Can you see it? Because the fans won't have it.
Well, there's the hang line. Did you not see? Obviously, there was a game at Murrayfield the other day. I don't know if it was Scottish or the British Lions. I think it was the British Lions that were playing.
No, I didn't
there
see
was
it.
16,500 at it. But Celtic and Hearts' first game of the season, they're only letting 500 in. And the stadium is literally across the road from it. So, what? I don't get that.
Is that?
They're talking about having 60,000 people in the stadium. So, how does that work?
Is that a thing so we don't get fans at Tyne Castle?
It's just, they're only letting 500 fans in, it's home fans.
It's Corey, is it?
And I thought, but they had 16,500 in last week. I think it was the British Lions that was playing at Murrayfield, and I'm thinking, does COVID only hit people that's under snobbiness? I don't know. I don't. And you've seen in the Euros, some of the stadiums have been full, like Hungary's stadium is full. And you're thinking, how is that? You know what I mean? Do they deal with COVID better than Britain? I'm not getting it.
It's all just that. You're seeing
Wimbledon as well.
You've got Royal Ascot, they're all sitting with name Ascot, but yet if you send your way to nursery or you send your way to school, they've got to sit in 3 or 4 on the outside with a mask and all that. It's total nonsense the way they've worked it all out. I don't understand it myself, mate. It's bonkers. How can you have 15,000 across the road but then 500 in a stadium where you can maybe fit 5,000 soldiers? It's bonkers, isn't it?
I know, mate.
And it's stopping fans from watching football.
It's ridiculous on some aspects.
And it's stopping fans from going watching their team play.
We're just hoping that obviously fucking COVID cases are rising by the day, 3,000 and 4,000, you're thinking. We need to get that done before they're going to let people back into stadiums.
Aye, definitely. I don't think they'll let people in. If it's, again, we don't know what's going to happen, but we're down south, because I was also doing London for the Scotland game, and being honest, Robert, you wouldn't think anything was happening, mate. Even the police down there, they weren't really wearing masks, people in shops, it was just, and I'm thinking up here, the difference between down here and up here was, it was bonkers. It was like, even in the trains and that down there, they weren't even really bothering. It was in the bars and the pubs. I don't think it's just because it was that day and it was an event, but I was asking all the locals and they were like, pal, we don't care anymore.
Nah. I know about London. and he was like down there when COVID was meant to be total rife and everybody was in pubs and beer gardens and he was like, no, it is. They're not going to shut London down.
Nah, that's true, man.
So you just need to do it. It's as simple as that.
Aye, because it is a massive, it's a massive money meeting scheme, London. So if they shut all that down again, how much money is the Royals going to lose? The Parliament's going to lose? How much money are you going to pay out to furlough scheme again? It's
yeah,
it is crazy. I just hope they can get fans in because for me, it would make a massive difference to new man as well. Having fans, first game at Parkhead, 40, 50,000 fans if possible, 60,000 if possible. They made a big difference to him. Imagine him turning out to new fans and we're like, we kind of, I don't think it would take everything away for his first game, but maybe take a wee edge off it. The crowd can see him, he can speak to the crowd and whatever else. I think it would take you that edge off it, but I just hope we obviously all the vaccine stuff and we can obviously hopefully get through this and get fans in for the start of the season because it's going to be a whirlwind, I think, first few months for us.
Definitely, Ryan. It just needs to be a bit of normality back to the football. Last season, it was like watching training games sometimes. It wasn't it feel real. You know what I mean?
I just felt like you were watching
a training game.
It was like a bounce game, wasn't it?
Aye. Set yourself up for the Glasgow Derby. I mean, you're trying your best, but when there's no crowd there, it's so fucking hard, isn't it? Oh. It was like, even the players must have, at a certain extent, felt so hard to generate the enthusiasm to get to play in it, because they're used to playing in front of passionate crowds and giving their all. There's nobody else. You could hear them all shouting and all that. It just felt so unreal to you. It was unreal.
I know, mate. I just hope it can change, because it definitely does put a damper on the game, and as you say, it's getting up for games. Obviously, the last wee bit, I think the first game's this week, I think the 7th of July. Hopefully, give you guys some minutes and see how the team maybe kicks off. If he's maybe implemented anything, again, I don't really take much pre-season games myself, because you know yourself, Robert, the first half, the second half, it changes players, and you can't really get a rhythm. It's more just about fitness. But again, hopefully we just maybe kick the season off, get guys in some fitness and just maybe see how we play the first game, if there's any wee small changes that we've maybe no seen for last season.
Yeah, that's it. Pre-season, I don't take too much into it. I just hope you don't get any bad injuries in pre-season and you come out unscratched and you don't take any particular downs in pre-season. I don't really care about the results. The results don't really matter, but you don't want to be getting scalped 3 or 4 mil in a game. Think, oh shit, that's not
going to
be good for confidence.
Mm-hmm. No, definitely. You don't want to play somebody like fucking West Ham, you'd be 4-0. You'd be like, oh, here we go, man. But again, mate, for me, I'm more positive now. Obviously, we listened to Harper's interview with his mate, other guys I've read into and looked into, and he's given me a better vibe now than maybe when he first came in. I forgot about Eddie Howe fiasco. Birmingham is finished, so for me, I'm just focusing on Ange, and hopefully we can kick off the Champions League and hopefully qualify and kick off a good era, because we do need something to give us a bit of excitement again.
Definitely, Ryan. The full Eddie Howe, man, the more it went on, the more I thought you can't have a guy in there half-hearted, and to me, he wasn't 100% behind it. It's now proved that down in England, there's been a few top jobs went up and nobody's even really considered him. So has he got a weak mentality that people can see through now, that he's not recovered for the Bournemouth thing? I don't know. Maybe I don't know, but I just find that if he was such a great manager, then he would have been getting interviewed on all these jobs in England, and he didn't seem to. So to me, he's maybe not as good a manager as we first thought. So I move on to it. I really don't care about my. That's it.
It could be a blessing in disguise that we've got Ange. Again, he has managed at a high level with Australia and stuff. So it's not like he's a nobody. But again, mate, thanks for your time. We will obviously continue with the new season. A lot more to come for me and yourself. And again, you can get us on Instagram, Twitter, YouTube. Subscribe to us on YouTube. A lot more to come through the YouTube channels. Me and Robert have got Twitter. Anybody that wants to speak with Celtic follows on Twitter. We're always on Twitter. Happy to talk to anybody about Celtic. And again, Robert, take care, mate. Thanks for your time, and I'll see you again, mate. Take care.
Cheers, Ryan. Thank you.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.